The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. It's tax day, and also Kate Stone's going to be in a couple of few to talk about the new police contract, and Spike is fired up about 25%.
I'm happy as a clam. It's about time.
Well, before we get to all that, speaking of money, it's tax day where the government comes and steals my money. Ayo, steal my money. Steal my money. Take my money under force of violence. Yeah. All right. So, taxes. Americans are inherently anti-tax. We don't like taxes. We despise taxes, as a matter of fact, which is why Paul Ryan's tax plan was so incredibly unpopular when he tried to roll it out in 2012. It was actually shot down by the Obama administration.
That's right.
Because they use, if I'm going to quote the president accurately, he said, "This is trash, Paul Ryan. This is indeed a trash tax plan." Now, the reason is, I don't think a lot of people realize this. There's a piece over at, King 5, talking about how it's tax day and your refund may be big this year. But they leave out a very convenient piece of information, right?
Really?
Yes, which is basically this. The Paul Ryan 2017 tax plan has built into it a sliding scale, which moves the tax burden down from the highest bracket down to the lowest bracket each year. Now, the reason he did this is despite the fact that every president on the Republican side comes in and they say, we're going to cut taxes. They can't cut taxes because we owe a tremendous amount of money.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
So
deficit hawks.
It's also very, very unpopular to cut social services and programs.
Absolutely.
So what Paul Ryan figured out how to do is actually kind of a genius political move that was implemented in, again, what can only be referred to as trash. Basically, everybody was talking about, oh, my taxes went down. My taxes went down. Except for when that sliding scale, that 7-year sliding scale, hit you and your tax bracket.
7-year scale, you said
2017.
I think there's something in the numbers here, buddy.
So this year, people will not be getting $3,000 from the federal government. They will be getting basically nothing. And that is not due to Joe Biden. And so people who blame Joe Biden say, my taxes went up. Joe Biden hasn't had a tax plan initiated.
Not at all.
That is the Paul Ryan tax plan, which, again, he tried to push through for 5 consecutive years, and every single year it was shot down, not only by the Democrats, but also by the Republicans, because it is indeed trash.
So what was different in 2017?
Gee, I wonder what that was. Laura, any chance you have? Can we get some Jeopardy music here, Nick? This is very important. I'm not sure what was different.
So we're looking at the 2012 Ryan plan was called trash.
It was indeed called trash.
And then in 2017, it became law.
Yeah. Who indeed was the president during that time where now the tax burden is placed on lower to middle income people? Who was the president at Laura? Any clue?
2017.
I'm really blanking on this one.
I was
one.
Really just a baby in 2017.
Yeah.
With your little baby hands?
I was blown out of my mind on heroin and cocaine. I wasn't
Did
really.
Did I vote in that 2016
I don't really.
Election?
Who was the president in 2017?
Oh, come on, people at home. You know the answer. Text us right now.
Text us at 888-973-5476.
Anyone can remember.
Win a free mug. That was just a joke. I can't actually give away.
No, we do have mugs.
Oh, if anybody gets it, if you're the first person, we'll send you a free mug.
That's wonderful. So, and to be fair,
yes,
every presidency is both credited for and plagued by, blamed for, the work of the previous guy.
Yes.
And whether it's good, bad, or ugly, the next guy always gets the credit or blame for what happened in the previous administration.
Yeah.
So here's the Trump tax cuts, the largest tax cuts to American middle class in history. at the time, without the sliding scale, it was a nice tax break.
Very nice.
For the working American.
Yeah, very nice.
Like I said, for 7 years, every year it clicked down one more tax bracket, and now it's at the lowest among us.
Yeah.
Ours.
Right.
Ours.
So the weird thing is that because I went up in tax brackets, it didn't affect me at all.
Oh, look at you. Look at you leapfrogging pain. Good for you, Jack Stein.
So I think that people need to understand that when a president says, I'm going to come in and I'm going to cut taxes, that means one of two things. it means that the tax burden is going to be put onto another income bracket. Mm. Or what that means is that he's going to cut, or she will cut, programs. But Trump didn't do that when he was in office. He added 2.3 million jobs to the Department of Transportation. So basically offsetting, if that makes any sense, any potential benefit to overall deficit spending by loading the Department of Transportation, basically turning it into a jobs program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when people say, like, oh, Jack, you're so anti-Trump or whatever it is, yeah, because I back it up. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's really annoying to have to explain to people that they got grifted. And then, I mean, go look it up. Go read the Paul Ryan jobs and tax plan. Go read that. Read through it. And then you'll see, starting 2017 to 2024, where the burden on income tax gets shifted to. And then you will say to yourself, gee whiz, I wish somebody would have talked about that back in 2017.
We tried.
Well, I didn't. I was high out of my mind on heroin and cocaine.
I tried.
So, which was good times, by the way. Did I ever tell you about the day that Trump was actually elected, that he actually...
I remember what were you doing that day?
I had been off of drugs for about 65 days.
Wow. And you stayed off? Was that kind of a global incident?
But the day of, I'm still irritable and very kind of like drugged out of my mind. So when I saw that Trump had won, I thought, oh, wow, that's amazing. In my mind, it was this amazing kind of event.
A lot of us felt that way.
That had occurred, but I thought that it was going to be good. And boy, howdy, as soon as I got out of that drug withdrawal window, I was wrong. Struggling state ferry system finds its way into the Washington governor's race. Now, I'm not a fan of whimsical creatures that fly around and live in mushrooms, so I am not sure why the potential governors are speaking about ferries. Do you know that if you ask a fairy for a wish, they'll give you the inverse of the wish, according to Nordic folklore?
I didn't know that.
That's why you can't trust them. You can't trust them.
Wow.
You can't trust them as far as you can throw them. That's not the best thing to say. You can't throw them very far.
It's ironic that the trolls are the trustworthy ones in Norwegian lore.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fairies are the devious.
So the struggling state fairy system is now being talked about by both Bob Ferguson and Dave Reichert. And the weird thing about it is that they both basically have a very similar ideas that was what needs to be done. But the application or the solution is vastly different. You want to break it down for us?
Sure. The Washington State Ferry System is in crisis right now because we both have not enough running boats on a regular schedule and not nearly enough employees mm-hmm. on a regular schedule. Now, it's been the Republican, more conservative point of view for quite a long time that the proposed Governor Inslee shift to an all-electronic, eco-friendly, less harmful to the environment.
Trash ferry system by
2050, I believe is the deadline on this, was bad for business and bad for ferries. Well, now Bob Ferguson has realized that there's a crisis of transportation in this state with regard to the ferries, the mm-hmm. largest ferry system in America, by the way. We transport more people on a daily and yearly basis than any other ferry system in the country. We got to fix the problem. So Bob Ferguson says, hey, how about some good old diesel? How about you build us a couple diesel boats, some diesel pumpers? Right.
I don't know why I think that's so funny.
Ferguson's doing what good politicians do. You pivot to the center. You start to grab a couple things from the other side of the aisle that may get you a couple votes from the other side of the aisle. Remember, it was two, three weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Bob Ferguson said, yeah, I'm all for spending more money to get more. We need more cops. We need to refund the police. But that doesn't play well because it seems like giving the police more money. But that story's coming up. Yeah. So Bob Ferguson's just saying, look, we have a crisis. We want to allocate an expedited ferry worker hiring system, and we want to look at buying some diesel boats right now to fill this incredible void in our fleet.
What's Reichert saying?
He's saying that he's been saying for quite a long time, a lot longer than Ferguson. We need diesel boats.
Yeah,
going electric to our ferry system is very short-sighted and detrimental to the economic and quality of life prosperity of this state.
Yeah, I'm going to have to default to Reichert on this one because as much as people call him, quote unquote, a rhino, mm-hmm. I do think that he's accurate in his assessment. The electric boat, I'm just not sure if those things can pump out the power that it takes to push that amount of people. I don't know. I don't know anything about boats.
Well, I think that the diesel boats will be fine, the electric boats will be fine because they're also looking at diesel electric hybrids.
I see.
The boats will be fine, but the boats which were supposed to be here in 2022, look at your calendars, that was 2 years ago, won't be here till 2028 at this point. And we got a crisis now that's getting worse by the day.
Speaking of a crisis, by the way, police contracts are being discussed. Kate Stone is in the studio, reporter extraordinaire, who was going to go home before I said, Kate, will you Will you please come on and do this story? It's so important
to me.
It's
been so long, Jack.
Kate Stone. Yes. So what's going on with this contract?
Well, there's quite a bit going on right now. We're about to see the stage is being set, essentially, for what the Seattle City Council is going to cut out of the budget, because there is a $250 million looming deficit. And essentially, there are two sides to the argument. There are council member Tammy Morales, who says the solution is raise more revenue. And there's the rest of the council, which says, nope, time to cut some stuff back. And there is a new survey out from the Seattle Chamber of Commerce that says Seattle taxpayers not exactly on board with shelling out more money to make up for this deficit. Now, what's interesting about that is when you look at all of the factors that are in play, as you just mentioned, Jack, with the contracts that are being negotiated, the city recently approved a contract of about a 10% raise for city workers. Now, they also are in the process of working out a tentative agreement with the Seattle Officers Guild for a retroactive 23% pay raise for the past 2 years. So that's not actually a pay raise going forward. That's a back pay raise for the past 2 years of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, because they've been working without a contract.
Now, Spike, what was your perspective on this?
I think, thank goodness, and not a moment too soon. And I know that that's not a popular position in a city that is a $250 million in the red, right? I can billion with a B. It's hard for me to even say it out loud.
I thought that was million. I thought it was $250 million.
Million.
Quarter billion.
Quarter billion.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Quarter billion. $250 million. But here's the thing. You know, you guys all have cable, right?
No.
No.
You cut the cord?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Not.
I'm such a boomer.
Yeah, cable is only for boomers there, O'Neill.
Okay. Who even serves cable?
Do you have a phone plan? Are you on a cell phone plan?
Yes.
Okay, so now we can speak a language that you kids can understand. Don't you hate it when your company offers the new customer the best deal ever, but you who've been there for a couple years get the crap deal you're stuck into? You hate that, right?
Well,
so here's the Seattle Police Department, who's had these two years worth of officers who haven't left, who've stayed there and helped reclaim the city's relationship with the law enforcement community. So, and these officers are being poached by different law enforcement jobs all over the country.
Well, because
we can't get new people, we can't keep the people we have.
In other municipalities of this size, cops get base six figures, right?
So,
and here
so
it's like 86.
We're trying to get up to speed with the competition to get law enforcement, and we're trying to keep those people who didn't already leave from leaving in the future and rewarding them for staying.
There's another issue here, though, Spike, which Kate brought up.
Well, yeah, and if you look at the agreement that's been negotiated by the Officers Guild versus the agreement that's been negotiated by the city employees, the Police Officers Guild contract dwarfs the raise that the city employees are getting. And the city employees also stuck around during a tumultuous time. But that's neither here nor there. What's interesting about this is sort of when you dig into the details of the Seattle Police Officers Guild contract, there are certain things that a federal judge under our federal oversight said you have to address. One of those is police accountability. There's not a lot in the leaked version of the contract that addresses that. And one example of that is a Seattle police officer who was recently fired. But before that, he was on 2 years of paid administrative leave for using police resources to stalk a woman that he had dated and harass her. He was put on paid administrative leave for 2 years starting in 2021. He was recently fired after an OPA investigation was completed. Under the terms of this agreement that the Officers Guild has tentatively reached with the city, he's eligible for about $250 million. Or $250,000, not million dollars. $250,000.
That's a great deal. I should really
This is why I went into journalism. I'm not great at math. $250,000.
You do my taxes, they're due today.
You said that they deserve more money, Spike.
They do deserve more money.
$250,000 in back pay,
even though
he was on admin leave pending an investigation where the findings ended up being sustained and he was ultimately terminated. He still gets that back pay.
Yeah, so bad cops are going to get good money.
They are. But should you throw out the entire baby with the bathwater? Should you say that no cops deserve appreciation Hold on.
But this isn't an all or everything thing, Spike. I mean, it's like you could have included a provision in the contract which said that cops that had been let go for just cause do not get retroactive pay. And then that money then could have gone to, let us just say, people living below the cost of living for Seattle who work for the city.
But that would be made even more difficult by the fact that according to the tentative agreement, the investigators, the civilian investigators, don't get subpoena power over the case files. They have to be voluntarily given over.
You're going to have to decipher that for me. What?
They can't subpoena case files for officers accused of misconduct.
Oh, are you serious?
Which might throw a wrench into independent investigations.
Wow. Yeah. So it's like basically airtight if I'm going to make out like a bandit even though I got fired. I mean, yeah. Are people okay with $250,000 going to a guy who was fired as a result of using resources to stalk somebody?
Of course
I'm not.
I'm not either, nor should they be. But my point being this, you can't deny the entirety of the police force what they are due and have earned because of one bad example.
I don't think it's just one.
Well, or anybody who has been, you're right, there should have been provisions written into this potential contract if you're a cracked egg, you don't get any juju.
You
right?
don't get in the omelet.
But you don't throw out the entire dozen because there's one cracked egg in the carton. Right?
That's the argument that anybody's making.
What is clear from both the city council and the mayor's perspective is that while cuts are undeniably coming because $250 million is nothing to shake a stick at, public safety, particularly the police department, will not be on the chopping block. Public libraries, however, can't say. Dog parks, we don't know. But something's going to have to go. But it's pretty clear from where we're sitting now and from the details that we have that it will not involve law enforcement.
People don't decide not to come into town and spend and visit because the library is closed. They decide not to come into town and spend and raise money because they don't feel safe because there's not enough law enforcement. So I think this is one time you got to put the money where it's most needed, which will help grow the tax base in general.
Kate Stone, thank you so much for sticking around after you said you wanted to go home. We appreciate it so very much.
I was serious about doing my taxes if you're available this afternoon.
Kate, did you see the math that I just did?
Are you going to have that up on My Northwest anytime soon?
Yes, definitely.
Okay,
absolutely,
perfect.
I will.
Thank you, Kate Stone.
Thank you.
We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Looks like the Golden Gate Bridge is completely shut down because Fox News is doing wall-to-wall coverage in San Francisco County, looking at people sitting in traffic because of protesters.
Is they've got the Golden Gate completely blocked?
Well, going one way.
Yeah.
And then the other way. Yeah. So you got a bunch of anti-Israel protests today going on all across the country. And everybody's losing their minds except for me. It's just like,
you're always the
voice of reason in every room I go into.
Cool, collected.
Take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this.
Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events. School family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The internet can be a dark and often dangerous place. Only one man has the courage to go where no sensible person would go. Jack Stein is terminally online.
Terminally online, exploring the deepest, darkest reaches of the internet so you don't have to. We were going to talk about Ticketmaster, but as I look at the television screens that we have in the studio, which serve only to distract me during the show, I see that we have a tale of two cities or a tale of two networks. One of these networks is covering the Trump trial. Trump's criminal trial begins today. He's in court. He looks upset. They have excused 96 potential jurors. 96.
More than half of the potential jurors have been excused already because they either couldn't be impartial or they have scheduling conflicts.
Got to get my nails done. Is what it is. Trial of the century. Yeah. Gotta go get my nails done.
I'm amazed that they've been able to find almost half of them so far that didn't have a biased opinion of the former president. That figured they could be open-minded about evidence.
And then on the other network, I see anti-Israel protests sweep New York City. Sweep America, they say. Does anybody want to guess which network is covering which? We've got CNN, we got Fox. Hmm. Which network is covering which? One of these networks, very pro-Donald Trump. One of these networks, not so pro-Donald Trump. Very interesting to see that Fox News is covering the anti-Israel protests because free speech isn't allowed in the United States. And then on CNN, we see that they are covering the trial of Donald Trump.
In wall the, to wall.
Wall to wall
yeah,
coverage.
It's pretty much wall to wall.
So why can't I feel anything anymore is a very good question that I think that we should talk about. Because neither of these issues makes me feel anything. It makes me feel nothing. I see pictures of Donald Trump in court. I go, well, it'll play out on its own. I see anti-Israel protesters. I go, well, those are, you know, poorly educated individuals. I don't know, like, why are Americans so heightened now today? Why are Americans so reactive now today? I don't feel anything. I feel nothing. Aren't we meant to live? Aren't we meant to run in the woods, gallivanting?
Walk by hunting, the shore? You bet we are.
Hunting the great woolly mammoth? And it's like, we are supposed to not care about any of this trash, but for some reason, you've got shaky cam guy over in New York who's taking a look at the protesters. Oh no, people expressing free speech! And then over here on CNN, it's Donald Trump in court, as if we haven't already seen that. How many times? Six,
yeah. You know, I'm not going to report on the rumors that former President Trump might have dozed off during the initial morning of the trial in New
York. Can you blame him? It's 9 a.m. It's pretty early.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Yeah, the head tipped down and the jaw slacked open and he wasn't moving for a couple minutes.
Probably a little sleepy. That's okay.
I couldn't sit there through the, you know, the blah, 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 blah. And they probably pumped up the heat in the courtroom, too.
Trump and I are very much cut from the same cloth. Not very reactive individuals. Very, very low, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well thought out reason responses.
Well thought out reason responses.
Controlled. I like it. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just feel like this is why I don't watch cable anymore. Because we narrativize so much of news and we try to personalize it so that we feel something.
Yeah,
right? But
yeah,
in actuality... Yeah. Does it affect me that there's a bunch of people out blocking the Brooklyn Bridge or blocking the,
or the Golden Gate Bridge? Yeah, yeah. In multiple states across the country. I feel bad that we don't have one in Seattle. I expected better of my compatriots here in the Great Northwest.
I did as well. Don't give anybody any big ideas.
Sorry.
But
maybe that's their noon surprise.
The thing that really gets me about all this is that there are people right now who are glued to their TVs, who are obsessed with the fact that either Trump's in court or that there are ne'er-do-wells who are, you know, blocking bridges or whatever it is. It's an insurrection, Spike. I won't stand for it.
Another one?
So, speaking of, by the way, things that are very, very irritating, StubHub is experiencing a ticket scam. People have been buying their tickets on the internet only to find out that they are indeed fraudulent tickets or they are not real digital tickets.
Correct.
Cairo 7 TV talked to a mom, Kathy, who brought in tickets to the Lofi. What's Lofi? Am I old now? What's going on?
That's the artist.
Is it? Am I not cool? Nicholas, am I not cool anymore? Who's Lofi?
I think I'm with you there. I don't know who Lofi is, though.
Laura, am I old now?
According to Cairo 7, a rising star.
A rising star?
Okay.
That's got to be a brand new term.
I'm old. I don't know who's
No, a Lofi.
Lofi.
No, it's an actual person. The performer is named Lofi.
What did the mom say? What did Kathy say, Laura?
Don't worry about it. It's StubHub. Like, they're legit. And they said, yeah, 280 people were turned away tonight. How can you trust any reseller again? How do you check to make sure it's real?
So Alvin Henry with the Seattle Theater Group told Cairo 7 TV that they only sell through Ticketmaster in the box office, right?
What happened last night was basically fraud, and that's why we need strong legislation at the federal and the state level so that we can protect the consumer from situations like this.
Here's what I don't understand. If I buy a plane ticket, which I have done recently, right, they need my name, they need my driver's license, the whole nine yards, right? Why don't we do that for concert tickets? I know it's a big deal, but scalping is you know, it's a pretty awful, awful industry that we've somehow allowed to go on since the 30s.
Well, that's a great analogy to make because you can't buy a ticket from United and then resell it somewhere else for more money.
Exactly.
You can't, there's not a secondary market for the airline industry.
Right.
And that's a safety factor. I understand you want to know who's getting on the plane. You want to vet these folks. There might be some no-fly list. There should be a no-fly list for some concerts. I don't like people who record the entire thing on their phone and not watch the actual show.
Yeah.
StubHub's a very reputable organization. They've been around for over a decade. They're a national brand. I'm surprised that they would fall victim to some of these secondary scams. You know, a lot of concerts do what you said to do for airlines. They do it already at concerts where if you buy the ticket to the show, and Laura, you were telling me you did that happen to you. If you buy the ticket to the show, you're the only one that can go on that ticket. You can't resell it. And maybe that's what we got to get to, but there's a huge industry in reselling tickets. The secondary market is, I mean, how many people have paid $1,500 to see Taylor Swift because the $200 ticket that was bought by somebody first and you want to get your little darling into the show, and you'll pay anything.
I feel like we should be doing incendiary radio right now. I feel like all the wind has been taken out of my sails because I'm watching all these people who make millions of dollars talking about the Israel protesters, right, and then right. I see people analyzing the Trump trial. I feel like maybe we're missing out on being able to be outraged, right? Shouldn't we? Do you think we should just change the format of the show to be mad? Would that be a lot easier for me? I just show up, be mad about stuff for 3 hours, leave. Just pretend to care about it. Do you know what I mean?
You know, it's a lot less reading required.
You
could have your afternoons off.
I know. We wouldn't have to go into consumer reports about people getting ripped off by scalpers. I could just come on. We could do 3 hours. If this is an injustice against the former president and the Biden DOJ has been weaponized, and that would be great, right? That would be good content.
We'll give you that rager meter.
Get the rage-o-meter.
Text lines exploding.
And then I could come on and say, this is an outrage that in the United States people are walking around and expressing their opinions. What is this? The freedom of expression? I won't stand for it, right?
Yeah, like, text to the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line says, I'm stopped on the bridge because these people want to have free speech.
A new declaration in Mexico gives cats royal privileges. Why is this news? Because it's so incredibly bizarre. It is unbelievably bizarre. It is bizarre to the point we're on a slow news day. It is the only thing worth talking about. Cats, when we get back right after this.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind. Until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just so excited about this story about cats. I don't even know how to contain my excitement. It's not like you have an obsession with cats, Laura, so you just work it into the show sheet every single... I mean, this is a serious, hard-hitting news show, Laura. I need things to be angry and outraged about.
Yes, and that's a cutting accusation that I would put something in the show sheet just because I like it.
Yes, exactly.
Everything I put in here is hard news.
Everything. I'll tell you what I'm outraged about, Spike, okay. Is that our neighbors to the south in Mexico have decided to give 19 cats free reign to roam the presidential palace, free food and care, socialism for these socialist cats down in Mexico. Now, basically, there's 19 feral cats who are living in the palace, and now they get to do so at their leisure. They are going to be fed by all the staff. They can do whatever they want to do. And I am not feigning outrage when I say that I can't have this kind of activity happening on my dollar or my watch. I don't know how
and
to
it's,
talk
it's
about
in
this.
In perpetuity, forever. This is grandfathered into the Mexican Constitution.
Right. I got to say that Megan Janitsky should probably know that there is no record for forcing in as many cat puns as you possibly can in a story about presidential cats. What's weird to me about this is, just a story in general, is that this has got to be, what, 1,500 words, maybe more?
Mm-hmm. I mean, scroll. Yeah, I bet
right.
that 1,500.
And they are covering the cats like Zeus, who was getting really fat, and they are covering other cats who have various names. And my read of this is that are there not things that are more important in life than, I'm just saying, I'm being critical of media and journalism as a whole. Do we need to know about Bowie, Beloff, Noob, Coco, Yemma, Olin, Balam, and more, right? Do we need to know about this? Right? I mean, it just, to me, man, like these kinds of pieces, although they are cool, mm-hmm. and although I do love cats.
You do.
As far as it being consequential to the consumer, I would have to say to the AP, hey, guys, like, there's a lot of stuff going on. Cats getting the royal treatment isn't exactly on people's, top 100 list of priorities, right?
How can I frame this that will engage your civic-minded, responsible journalist?
I'm not a citizen of Mexico.
I know.
I don't like royalty. I love cats.
You do.
But not 19 feral cats.
How about if we framed it as Mexican government finds non-lethal organic method to eliminate rat infestation long-term?
I don't think that's what they do there.
Sure they do. That's why there are feral cats at the palace. They eat the rats.
Okay, well, that's nice.
You know that Disney has feral cats? on the grounds at all times?
That's nice. I mean, I in no way, shape, or form find this to be stimulating or engaging. Okay. And from a philosophic or a moral, I mean, am I supposed to be against it? Am I supposed to be for it? Am I supposed to be, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like fluff journalism that just gets thrown at Americans on a regular basis. You want to know why most Americans are not that news savvy, or they don't necessarily know how to decipher media, is because the media complex or the media machine throws out stories like this, which seem as if it is news, when in fact it is not. It is in no way, shape, or form cutting edge, necessary for anybody to know outside of the 12 people on staff at the Mexico,
who
have to feed the cats, that this is now a thing. What Americans basically get in terms of news is what babies get in terms of news, right? Here's a big red dog. Here's a group of cats that are friends. And then people wonder why Americans are immature. They're not well-read. They never read anything, because we give this kind of Milo and Otis nonsense to people, when in actuality, like, my whole thing is we should be pushing and challenging people to do better and to think broader and to think in a more abstract way about the world that they live in, right? But instead what we get is, here's a bunch of cats named Zeus and Lopez, and aren't you having fun? Me gusta. It's like, come on, what is this?
First off, I love the Milo and Otis reference. Nice job. Way to go back into our literary history for the cat references. Mm-hmm. If you ask the average Washingtonian to name the representatives that represent them in Congress, not a shot. Now name the cats who live at the palace, right? Bowie, Coco,
already
Hema.
Listed them.
Oh,
they'd
be able to give you those. They'd come up with the names of the cats at the palace, but couldn't tell you who represents them in Washington.
That's my point.
Yeah, we don't.
That's my point.
There's nothing sexy about Congress.
Well, it's
maybe if Congress was allowed to roam free for eternity around the.
There most certainly is, Spike. This is the problem that I'm trying to make. Is that, or this is the issue that I'm trying to outline here, which is that there are people are much more keen to engage with this kind of superficial Disney-esque media than they are actually to willing engage with much more complex topics. For instance, what does it mean to be a good person? This is a very basic philosophic question. What does it mean to be a good person? Andrew, what is the definition, fundamentally, what is the essence of a good human being? I'll wait.
he wants to be careful with his answer.
Andrew, what's a good person by definition?
I don't know if you can define a good person just with a sentence.
Do you like that cats live in the Mexican palace?
I don't really care about cats.
Laura, what is the definition of a good person?
Why does this feel like a trick question, Jack?
It's not. What is the definition of a good person?
A good person cares about other people.
Like cats. Right?
Yes, cats are people to me.
Fair.
Okay.
Wonderful.
I care about lots of people, but if I don't do anything with that care, you see what I'm saying? Like, this is such a simple question can push out so many different thoughts. What does it mean to be kind? What does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to be present? What does it mean to be loving? But instead what we get is cats at the Mexican palace wearing sombreros, having some fun.
Do you think that Megan Janetsky pitched a good person story and they said, nah, what else you got?
No, I think what Megan Janetsky did was like, man, I got a deadline in 20 minutes. What am I going to write about? And then she saw a Twitter post about, hey, the cats at the Mexican palace are now going to be free to roam. And she was like, I got my Pulitzer. Let's make it happen, baby. My Pulitzer. If there's another cat pun in this, I will lose my mind.
I'm sorry.
I will literally. She did catastrophe.
Did she get Pulitzer in there? Let's take a look.
She should get it in there. Republicans are choosing NRA funding over safeguarding American lives. What? MSNBC writing a biased article? Trump ponders VP contenders. He asks, can they help me raise cash?
How much money you
got? I actually know who he should pick for his VP.
Oh.
I know who he should pick. Bring him the most amount of money.
Interesting.
I know exactly who he needs to pick. And it's somebody who you said he should pick.
Okay.
I stole it from you.
Oh, let's
because
let's,
I take I take your talking points and I use them as my own.
No.
Yeah. Jury
but
selection.
I left the cats at the palace. What went wrong?
Jury selection in the Trump trial. It's a criminal case without precedent. I don't know. Fraud's got a lot of precedent, I would imagine. Small-time investors in Trump's Truth Social reckon with stock collapse. That's right. To that guy who texted us 2 weeks ago said, oh, he's a billionaire now. Not anymore, Texter. Not anymore. Not when you lose, 25% of stock value in one day?
In one day.
Unbelievable.
Far, far worse than that overall.
Talk about all that when we get back right after this.